Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
So if you're asking yourself the question, why would we study the book of Revelation? Because here's the answer. Because you're going to learn more about Jesus Christ from this book than you have already learned in the other parts of Scripture. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Would you like to learn more about Jesus Christ?
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Out of all of the New Testament books, the book of Revelation is the one most Christians tend to avoid. But today on Brave, Pastor Jeff explains why the last book in the Bible actually has a lot to teach us about Jesus and our relationship to God. Jeff is showing us five key reasons why the book of Revelation is so important to the Christian life, as he continues with Volume 2 of our greater study from Genesis to Revelation called Alpha Omega. Now, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins the third part of a message titled, Why Teach Revelation? By reading the words of John from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. Let's listen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, in these eight verses, we're going to see at least five reasons why we should teach the book of Revelation. Five reasons why you should listen to this teaching in the book of Revelation. And the first is this. Why teach the book of Revelation? Well, first and foremost, because it's scripture. And it reveals a greater understanding of Jesus Christ. Secondly, why teach Revelation? Because it creates an urgency and a sobering choice to live completely for Christ. Third reason, why should we study Revelation? Why teach Revelation? Because blessing is promised to the reader, hearer, and doer. You want to be blessed? You want more blessing in your life? You want more of God's favor? This book makes a promise that blessing is promised to the reader. There's no other book in the Bible that promises blessing to the reader. Notice what he says. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessed. And these are good reasons to study this book. I'm compelled by them. The fourth reason is this. Why teach Revelation? Because the gospel is paramount and central throughout the book. The gospel is paramount and central throughout the book. So where do you see that? I see it from Jesus Christ. How does the book start off talking about Jesus Christ? The faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins, how? By his blood. Is that not the gospel or what? Let's start there and we'll work our way backwards. Jesus Christ is the only one that can forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ is the only one that can make your dead life alive. Jesus Christ is the only one that can present you to the Father God. There is no other way, and it's only through his blood. To reject Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is to reject God. There are no other gods. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the one who sets us free, not only from the penalty of our sin, but from the power of our sin, and ultimately from the presence of our sin. He is God. He is the only way, and that is the only way that you can know Christ is through the gospel. That's the gospel, which means if you're here today and you've never turned from your sins and turned to Christ, you can call yourself whatever you want. You're just not a Christian. A Christian is one who's turned from his or her sin and turned to Christ and by grace received everything that God has for you. Not by anything you've ever done, but all by his grace because of his sovereign mercy in your life. That's the gospel. Who's Jesus? He's the only one that can set you free from your sin. He's the only one that can deliver you from the judgment that's coming. He's the only one that can present you faultless before the Father, and there are no other gods. What else is he? He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. None of you moved, okay? He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. We live in a day and age where people are living fearful based upon who's in office. I got something to tell you today. It don't matter who's in office, Jesus Christ is ruler over them. Amen? He rules the kings of the earth. He says, get your eyes off elected officials and put your eyes on me. I'm in charge. I'm coming soon. The end is near. Be ready for me. That's what he's saying, right? He's the one who's freed us. He's the one who's over the kings of the earth. Let's continue to make our way back through the text. He's the firstborn of the dead. Now, cult movements will oftentimes use verses like that to say, see, he wasn't God. He was firstborn. He was born. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He's homoousion, or of the same essence as his father. The father is eternal. He can beget with that which is eternal. Jesus Christ was never created. He became incarnate. He's always existed. What does it mean he was the firstborn of the dead? Well, here's what it means. Firstborn simply means this, preeminence. It means he has all preeminence. And how was he the firstborn of the dead? Because he's the first one to ever die and rise from the dead who is still alive. He's the first fruit of all that. It shows that all authority and dominion and rule is his. That's what it means. We see this all throughout the scripture. God refers to Israel as his firstborn, even though it wasn't the first nation. God refers to David as his firstborn, even though he wasn't the only child. Firstborn is rank and prominence of order. Jesus Christ is first in rank. He rose from the dead to validate that he is the eternal Son of God so that anybody who believes in him will not taste death either. That's what it means. And even in the book of Colossians, when we read about how he created everything in the universe and that nothing was created without him and that he's before all things, verse 18 of Colossians chapter 1 says he's also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He has first rank and preeminence in everything. It doesn't mean that he was created. Jesus Christ was not created. God can't be created. He's always been God. That's who he is. He released us from our sins. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. He's the firstborn of the dead. And what is he? He's the faithful witness. It means if you can't trust anybody else in this world, guess who you can trust? You can trust Jesus Christ's testimony and his word. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me, you can trust that. You say, well, how can I trust Jesus? Here's what Jesus said. In John 8:14, Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I came from or where I am going. What was he saying? Anything I say is true. You can bank on it. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. He released us from all our sins. And what did he do? The gospel is not just freeing you from sin so you can go to heaven. The gospel is teaching you how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ while you're here. He made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. What do priests do? Priests minister to the Lord. Priests serve the Lord. Priests bring other people to serve the Lord. That's their job. What are you called to do? Some people have a problem in life. Like, what's my calling? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Here's one of them. You're going to minister unto the Lord with everything you have. And Jesus Christ is going to be the foundation of your life. And then you're going to serve other people and bring them in to serve the Lord as well. That's how God establishes his kingdom. We are all set up to be a kingdom of priests unto our God. We're a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, right? That's what we're called to do. We're called to be that royal priesthood that ministers and serves to the Lord out of the overflow of our life and calls other people to serve him as well. That's why the gospel is paramount. It's central throughout this whole book. And then all glory and dominion are his forever and ever. Amen. It means Jesus Christ is in control of all things. Well, you see this world spinning out of control. And I'll be honest, I mean, in my lifetime, I haven't seen some of the things that I'm seeing even this week in our culture. I just haven't seen them. And if I focused on them, I know it could cause fear in my heart. And if I thought about them and I thought about it, this is where we're going, it would cause anxiety unless my eyes are on the Lord Jesus, where he says, I got all this. I'm the faithful witness. I'm the firstborn from the dead. I'm the ruler of all the kings of the earth. And you can bank on me, because I'm telling you the truth, that when I come back, I will establish dominion forever and ever, to which we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what it's about. And so when we see this, the gospel is paramount and central throughout the book. Now, you're going to watch as we go through, and you can make decisions as to where you place things and time things and how it works. But there are going to be a number of people, even when the gospel is proclaimed, that are going to say, we want nothing to do with you, God. There's going to be scores of people that do that. There's going to be a massive apostasy from the church, that many people that have been part of a local church and in the church and doing things in the church but weren't actually saved, they're going to depart from the faith. We're going to see all that. That doesn't change the gospel. And the gospel doesn't change either with the fact that God is a righteous judge, and he's coming to judge sin. He's coming to judge both the living and the dead. That's a good God. Because if God saw all the injustice in the world and just said, oh, I'm sorry, then we could ask this question, God, how could you be good and allow that to happen? But we'll never be able to ask that question because God answers it. He's going to establish his kingdom in justice and in righteousness and truth, and he's going to punish all injustice. And because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it's the reason we must repent and be ready for his coming, so he doesn't hold us accountable. And he loved us enough so that we wouldn't have to. I mean, if those were just the reasons, if we just had four, I would say, God, that's enough. Okay, I'm in. I'm in on this study. Let's do this thing. How many of you so far are in on this study? You want to do this? All right. Why teach Revelation? Because Jesus Christ's coming is certain, and all his attributes will be on full display. You can take this to the bank. There are people in every generation, where's this coming? It's been thousands of years. I'm telling you, he's coming. The word of God teaches he's coming. And he's coming soon. Notice what he says. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Now, I want to set this up for you. The longer you study the Bible and the more Old Testament you understand, the more New Testament you understand, the more you're going to see how it fits into the book of Revelation. So you have to understand two Old Testament verses are being used here. The first is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. We won't spend a lot of time there today. We'll get to Daniel as we go through our study. But notice what it says in Daniel 7, 13. I kept looking in night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days. One like the Son of Man coming is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he came up to the Ancient of Days. That's his father, right? So Daniel had a vision of what this was going to be like. Now, why is this such a big deal? Because sometimes in our New Testament, we read about Jesus Christ being the Son of God and the Son of Man. And we think Son of Man, Son of God, okay, he's God, but Son of Man, he's human. That's not what Son of Man means. Son of Man means what Daniel 7 said. The Son of Man is the God-man Messiah. The Son of Man is the one who's going to rule and reign. This will give you context. At the end of Mark's gospel, when Jesus is being tried by the high priest, and he keeps asking him this same question over and over, you know, are you the Son of God? Are you the Son of God? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus looks at him. He could have just said yes, but he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest questioned him and saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the living God, the blessed one? Are you the one that we're supposed to be looking for? And Jesus said in Mark 14, 62, I am. Have we heard that before? I've always been and I will always be, and I'm standing right here in front of you now. I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. What's he quoting? He's quoting Daniel 7:13. He's saying this. You're asking me if I'm the Son of Man. You're asking me if I'm God in flesh. I am. And by the way, the next time you see me, I'll be fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 7. And you will see me and know that I'm the God of the universe, because I'll be coming to judge you. At that point, the priest tears his robe and the crucifixion scene begins. Why? Because Jesus Christ was calling himself the Son of Man, which meant that he was God. Now, this is one of those places in the text I want you to wrestle with, okay? I want you to wrestle with this, but notice what the text says. Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. How many eyes is that? Hey, you didn't listen. I'm going to ask the question again. I want full participation. It's not rhetorical. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. How many eyes is that? Who's not going to see him? According to the Bible, every eye will see him. Now just wrestle with that over the course of the next series of weeks. Even those who have pierced him. Now, we don't have further revelation on the people that drove nails into Jesus' hands and feet as to whether they repented and trusted Christ at some point in time. If they didn't, they're certainly in hell. But you get this picture that even people in hell are going to see Jesus when he comes. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Now, how many is all? That's everyone. That's every people, tongue, and nation. They're going to see him, and those who don't know him are going to mourn over him. That's a reference to Zechariah 12:10 in the second part of the verse. So that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping of a firstborn. What's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns? Every single person in the world that has ever breathed a breath will see him. Everyone. All of them. And those who haven't trusted Christ are going to weep, and they're going to lament. And if you haven't trusted Christ, you're going to weep and you're going to lament, because you're going to realize that that pastor that preached the word of God, when you read the word of God, when your mom told you about the word of God, when your friend told you about the word of God, that they were telling you the truth. And at that point in time, it's going to be too late. Now, I'm challenging you, and again, just you have time to look up the verse. I'm challenging you to find the verse in the Bible where there's a secret and silent rapture of pulling away of the saints. There's not one verse in the Bible that talks about a secret and silent rapture. The only problem I have with the secret and silent rapture is that everything I read about in the Bible, it's not secret nor silent. Everybody's going to see him. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says there's going to be a cry of an archangel and a shout and of command, and all the dead in Christ are going to rise, and everybody who's believing in him are going to be caught up in the air to be with Jesus forever, and only Kurt Cameron's going to see it. I can't find that in my Bible. Every eye is going to see him. His second coming's not secret. His second coming is to put himself on display with all of his attributes, his glory, his power, his might, his honor, and blessing is going to be all his. Amen? I don't see what some people see. Now, I can be wrong. I'm not, but I could be. Now, I'm open. But I'm just telling you, behold, he's coming in the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Amen. When he comes back, I mean, some of you have probably had this question, because if you grew up in an evangelical church and you walked home sometime, or you went to a football game, or you went to a meeting and nobody was there, and you're like, oh, did I miss the rapture? Did I miss the rapture? Nobody's missing the rapture, y'all. Every eye will see him. Every eye around the globe will see the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll talk more about the rapture as we get further in this and talk about different positions. And then here's what Jesus said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord. Who is, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's who I am. That's who he is. His coming is certain, and his attributes will be on full display. Now, why does he talk about the Alpha and Omega? In our English alphabet, we have 26 letters, A to Z. In the Greek alphabet, they had 24 letters, Alpha to Omega. It went something like this: Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Chi, Omicron, Phi, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Chi, Psi, Omega. Right? Those are the 24 letters in the Greek alphabet. He's saying, I'm the beginning. I'm the one that started all this. He's saying, I'm the end. I'm the one that's going to bring it to a finish. I was watching a movie recently. I can't remember what movie it was, but it was something like this. You've seen movies like this where somebody said, that guy started it, I'm going to finish it. And I remember watching that thinking, I don't know what's about to happen, but it's going to be good. Here's what Jesus said. Nobody else started it. I started it. And I'm about to finish it. And the reason we need to be ready is because Jesus Christ is coming back to a city near you, and you need to be ready, because when he comes, every eye will see him. And if you're not ready for him, you will lament and mourn and recognize, I didn't place my faith in the one that I should have. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the text says. So Jesus is coming. It's certain. That's why while we lament some of the things that go on in our culture, there's always going to be challenges in our culture. There's always going to be things that go on. But as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, Lord Jesus.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, and the final part of a message titled, Why Teach Revelation? But don't go anywhere just yet, because Pastor Jeff has more to share with us when he returns in just a moment. Today's lesson comes from our larger study called Alpha Omega, spanning from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. We're gaining clarity and direction for our lives as we explore God's plan for mankind from the very beginning of creation to the end of the world. And if you've missed any part of this eye-opening series, or you'd like to hear another message from Pastor Jeff, just visit our website, bravemedia.online. If you haven't already, you'll also want to download the Brave Church app to your smartphone or mobile device. This free, faith-building tool will equip you with exclusive resources and opportunities to get involved at Brave Church, like signing up for one of our small group Bible studies, sharing personal prayer requests with our prayer team, and registering for special ministry events. Take a new step in your walk of faith and get connected with our growing faith-based community here at Brave Church. Just open your smart device, log into your app store, and search for Brave Church Denver. And during this Christmas season, we encourage you to be part of weekend services here at Brave Church. If you live near the Denver metro area, make plans to join us in person for worship, fellowship, and a new Bible-based message from Pastor Jeff. You can attend either of our two campuses in Englewood and Broomfield, whichever's closest. Or if you're listening from anywhere else, join us right from home through our weekend live stream. You'll find all the details you need at our website. Once again, that's bravemedia.online. Until then, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, send us an email, hello@bravechurch.co. Now, let's join Pastor Jeff for some final thoughts on today's message. Jeff?
Thanks, Bill. I'm so excited to teach you the book of Revelation, so much about the coming of Christ, his second coming, and what it's going to be like when he returns in all of his glory and sets up his marvelous kingdom. And as I teach through this book, I realize different Bible-believing Christians believe different details just a little differently, but we all believe that Jesus Christ is coming back as full bodily deity God. He is coming back to rule and reign on this planet. And we are yearning for his return. And what we know is he's coming back soon. So I'm so excited to teach this book. I believe it's going to create an urgency in your heart and an urgency in your mind and an urgency in your life to prepare your life for the return of Jesus Christ. And when he returns, how glorious it's going to be for those of us who are eagerly anticipating his arrival. Now, the reason that we can talk so confidently about the second return of Christ is because God promised all throughout the Old Testament scriptures that he was going to send his Messiah, and Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, came into this world about 2,000 years ago, and we call that his first coming or his first advent. And every year around this time, we celebrate the Advent season or his coming and what it meant that Jesus Christ came to this world, that he was born of a virgin, that he grew in wisdom, knowledge, and stature, that he fulfilled the law, that he remained sinless, that he died on the cross for all of our sins, that he was buried, that he rose from the dead so that all of us, through repentance and faith, who believe in Jesus Christ alone as the Lord, can have life and have life in his name. It's the free gift that Jesus Christ came to offer. And it's the gift that's the most important for us to be celebrating, not only during a Christmas season, but each and every day of our life. So for this year, what I put together was a 25-day devotional leading up to Christmas entitled The Gift. This is a 25-day devotional that talks about many of the gifts that we receive when we trust Jesus Christ as our own personal Lord and Savior. If you're a believer, you will find this book to be helpful to you as you continue your journey in Christ. This may also be a book for someone who doesn't know Christ to learn the truths of the faith so that they too may accept the most wonderful gift that's ever been given. I would love to give you your own copy of this devotional booklet for a gift of any amount. I will personally send you one of these. You can either call our number at 360-55-BRAVE, again, 360-55-BRAVE, or go to bravemedia.online. Again, that's bravemedia.online. I would love you to celebrate the birth of Christ this season and how much he means to you, and know from my heart to yours that you are loved.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us again next time for more encouraging Bible-based truth right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.